We'll conclude our tribute to the late Art Bell, W6OBB, in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Mid-South studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with the April 28th Rain Report Hamcast. Walk into a radio station, even today, and you're likely to find a ham or three keeping that radio station on the air. Back in the 80s, an aspiring young radio announcer named Art Bell, W6OBB, made Okinawa his home on radio station KSBK. It wouldn't be until 1993 to 2002 that Art would be heard nationwide, literally coast to coast, on more than 500 stations by over 10 million folks, weeknights in the wee hours of the morning. Sadly, Art became a silent key April 13, 2018. To celebrate this unique communicator and his voice, we've brought you the essence of a 2016 hour-long interview Eric Guth, 4Z1UG, conducted with Art for Eric's QSO Today podcast. Here's our second and final excerpt from that conversation.
If you want to get anywhere in radio, probably Okinawa as a launching point, career-wise, is not the ideal place. So if you ever really want to get anywhere, you've got to come back to the continental United States and begin getting on bigger and bigger and bigger radio stations. And that's exactly what I did. I slowly climbed the ladder of rock and roll in those days and enjoyed it very much. Now, I was up and down the dial, like WKRP, for example. I was in so many states, and I kept moving to a slightly bigger radio station, and spent about, I would guess, 20 years doing rock and roll. That first-class radio telephone license served me well and got me in a lot of doors that would not have opened otherwise. I did quite a bit of actual engineering, considered myself to be a pretty decent audio engineer, was hired by some stations to just work on their audio chains and would travel and do that. Now, what I really loved was being on the air. I went not all the way as far as one might go in the rock and roll world, but I almost got a job in New York City. Actually auditioned for WABC in New York. Didn't make it, but auditioned. Worked for Extra down in Tijuana. Worked for New Haven, WAVZ, which at that particular time was a pretty decent job, to be honest with you. So up and down the dial. I did about 20 years total of rock and roll. And then one day, somebody asked me if I thought I could do talk, if I thought I could do a talk show. This was up in Anchorage, Alaska, at KENI. Pretty good sized station in Anchorage, actually, Eric. So I did a talk show, and it was immensely successful. Then I came back to the lower part of the U.S. Again, this is really where the action is. Worked in the Monterey area doing talk.
It's my understanding that you actually changed gears in talk.
Oh, I did. I began in talk radio the way everybody in those days began, and that was with political talk radio. So I talked politics. I got interested in it. It was fun. You could have on-the-air fights. You know, it was pretty wild. So that's what I did. And then I took a break. After all these years in radio, I was married at the time. It was no life because you had to keep moving from town to town, again, up and down the dial, right? No sort of life to continue with. So I said, okay, that's it. I'm getting out of radio. I went to work in Las Vegas, Nevada for a cable company. I became their chief technician. I built what's called their head end. That's where all the video processors are, where all the satellite antennas are. It's where the microwave shots are, Karsban microwave. Pretty big facility, actually. I worked my way up, became the chief technician after I built everything. And I took care of it for a number of years. When I was building that facility, Eric, I loved it. I mean, it was all technical stuff. I was off to school at Hughes AML Microwave and learning all sorts of new things and doing all sorts of new things. And every day was a new adventure. Unfortunately, after I built it and I had a large crew of people working for me, I began to get bored, sitting around waiting for something to break, very well paid, frankly. So one day, I got a call from a friend of mine, Jack Daniels. I think he may still be around. And he was working at KDWN in Las Vegas, Nevada. It was, and I believe still is, a talk station. It's a 50,000-watt blowtorch on 720 in Las Vegas. He said, come on, I know, I heard you did talk. Come on over. You don't have to take the job. Just do a talk show every morning during the week with me, and let's see how you like it. Well, you know, it was like a hook with a worm on it. I bit really hard. I did do that talk show for about 6 months during the day. And, of course, 50,000 watts is good. But from Las Vegas, after it covers Las Vegas, it goes out to the desert and stops, right? You can only go so far in the desert, even with 50,000 watts. So after about 6 months, I went to my wife at the time and I told her that I was going to give up this really well-paying job. I was going to go and be on the radio. She thought I was absolutely out of my mind. I had a high-paying job, every benefit you could imagine, lots of security. I had built the cable company. And I went to them and told them I was going to walk away, begin working, well, not for peanuts, but it would be peanuts plus not much. She thought I was crazy. And ultimately, that cost me the marriage. But I went to work for KDWN. Every minute I was there, I had my eye on the nighttime. Because while 50,000 watts covers Las Vegas, which is great, after that, it's just cactus. But, at night, even though slightly directional, KDWN covered 13 states at night. 13 states! Every night at sunset, we would have to throw a couple of switches and go directional. I think we were protecting WGN in Chicago. I worked at KDWN, Eric, for a total of 10 years. I worked late nights. I came to work at about 10 o'clock at night. I would go on the air at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'd frequently be on the air until 6 o'clock in the morning doing talk radio. And again, in the beginning, it was absolutely political. I did that for a long time and really, really, really enjoyed myself and did very well in the ratings. But just for the hams out there, I can't tell you how many nights I actually had my finger on the button. There were about 10 or 15 times that I actually went over to the console, put my finger on the switch that would turn us non-directional. Because I wanted to see if I could get calls from other parts of the country. I came within just that much of turning that baby non-directional, but I was in mortal fear of the Federal Communications Commission, and I was sure they would come marching in and chop my head off within minutes. So I never did do it. I'm kind of sorry I didn't, frankly. Here I am, pretty successful doing this nighttime show, being heard across the 13 states as advertised, getting a lot of calls. And one day, I got bored with politics. I said, not another night, not another 5 hours of politics. Oh, no. I had a friend. You may have heard the name or know the name Lear, as in Learjet. John Lear is the son of the man who put together and owned Learjet, John Lear. And John has some unusual ideas about virtually everything, including UFOs, including Area 51 that I'm very close to as I speak to you right now, and the things that have gone on out there.
Stations nationwide by more than 10 million listeners. We'll conclude this final excerpt from Eric's conversation with Art from 2016 after I remind you that the Rain Report Hamcast updates Saturday on therainreport.com. You can also hear this weekly hamcast Saturday night around 9 Central Daylight Time, following the Amateur Radio Newsline on shortwave station WTWW from Lebanon, Tennessee on 5.085 MHz. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
Now, bear in mind, the owners of KDWN were conservatives. They ran that as a conservative radio station. Anything else was heresy. So I thought, I wonder what will happen. Well, just one night. Let me give it a try. And I had John Lear on. I thought, how interesting would it be to talk about Area 51, to talk about UFOs, to talk about all sorts of different things. So I had him on. And that was the beginning of the end, Eric. I began getting so many calls that, well, we had an 800 line back in the days when you had to have an 800 line. If you wanted out-of-state calls, that's how you got them. And I kept doing these kinds of topics. Of course, my boss was going totally berserk, not wanting me to do this, ordering me not to do this, threatening to fire me. And by the way, they did fire me, I think, 3 and perhaps 4 times. Problem was, Eric, the ratings were so good. I mean, during the day, the radio station had virtually no ratings. At night, when I was on, we were number one. Everybody loved it. Well, everybody except the owners. They hated it. Absolutely hated it. You can imagine some very staunch conservatives trying to answer to their friends how their radio station was talking about UFOs and things of that sort at night. It drove them crazy. I was taken in there and fired at least 4 times, Eric, then almost immediately rehired.
About what year was this?
In the mid-90s. I remember one day that somebody came to me and said, Art, we love your show. The Concorde, the supersonic Concorde, is going to be in Las Vegas and then making a trip to Paris, France. And guess what? We're going to get you and the lady friend of your choice onto the Concorde and go to Paris. So I went to the lady who owned the station and I said, look, I've got this chance to go to Paris for free on the Concorde, supersonic, one of the last flights, actually, Eric, and I'm going to go. It means I'm going to miss a night, maybe 2 nights of radio. And she said, no. I said, okay, then. I quit. She said, you're fired. I left. I went to Paris. I had a ball. I came back home and got immediately rehired. So I spent a total of 10 years at that radio station, 2 or 3 of them talking about UFOs and the paranormal and weird stuff. It was so much fun. It was so different. And from that, I began to get syndicated. You know, I began to suddenly show up in Phoenix. Then I was in LA. Then I was in Seattle. Then I was in Portland. Then I began going east. And before you know it, I think I was on about 530 radio stations, something like that. I actually felt guilty after a while, Eric, because the fact that I was so successful at that time working for Premier Radio Networks, Clear Channel Corporation, that if I'm on 530 radio stations, I am taking jobs away from 530 people, and they're probably starter-type jobs. And so I actually felt guilty about that. I had yet another pretty good DX experience after the wife I was married to some years ago in 2006 passed away. Very sad. I met this Filipina lady, beautiful Filipina lady. Met her after talking with her for a long time. Decided, well, you know what? Why don't I live in the Philippines for a while? That should be fun. This is as I'm 62 years old. I guess I've spent a total of 3 or 4 years in the Philippines. I had all kinds of good radios in the Philippines, got them over there by hook or crook. More times than not, it's crook because it's not easy getting them in over there. The Philippines is still sort of operated by a bit of graft here and there. So you have to grease a palm to get in what you want to get in, which is what I did. I had a condo, Eric. In fact, I still own that condo up on the 19th floor, 19 of 20 floors in Manila. In order to get on the air, I guess I should hang my head when I say this, I snuck up to the roof of our condominium, very modern, very nice, sort of unreeled a rope until my wife could get her hands on it, tied a coax onto the rope, and had her pull it on down into the window. If you can imagine on this modern condo, here's a coax going up to the roof, and I snuck an antenna up there. I was at the very, very peak of the roof. They had no idea it was there, just a dipole to begin with. And finally, they about had cats and dogs when they saw it. They got hold of their lawyer, made me take it down. About a year later, I did manage to get a real antenna up there, a 2-meter 440, which was great, and a multiband dipole. Ultimately, however, even though I caused not one moment of angst nor problem of any sort, I was ordered to take it down by the board of directors and their attorney, and so I had to take it down. And that's really why I came back to the U.S. But while I was over there, I took the test and became 4F1AB, 4 Foxtrot 1 Alpha Bravo. And you can only do that when you originally get to the Philippines. They dubbed me DU1/W6OBB. And I got so sick of saying that, that I studied for the Philippine test, the highest class test they've got, and passed it. And that's how I became 4F1AB. A lot easier to say than DU1/W6OBB. And I operated from there until, as I mentioned, the lawyer made me take the antennas down. And this will give you a sense of how much I love ham radio. When they told me I had to take my antennas down, Eric, I said, okay then, goodbye. I would have stayed in the Philippines to this very day, Eric, if they had allowed me my antennas. And it was my fault. You know, I had the multiband antenna and the 2 meter 440 antenna and all was well. And then I thought, well, okay, if I got that, then why don't I get an engineer? They love local engineers. So I got a local engineer who designed a tower and a tri-band antenna along with a dipole. And all of this well-designed, paid for, submitted it to the board of directors. Board of directors said, oh, we didn't know you had an antenna up there. Not only can you not have this, but you've got to take down what you've got up. And I was devastated. And so that's how my wife and I decided to come back to the U.S. Radio has treated me very, very well. I would say to anybody out there, a ham, anybody interested in radio, if this is what you're going to do, then good luck.
And that concludes our farewell to a most unique communicator, Art Bell W6OBB, whose Coast to Coast AM radio talk show captured the nation from 1993 to 2002 on over 500 stations, weeknights, and drew over 10 million listeners. Art was interviewed in 2016 by Eric Guth, 4Z1UG, for Eric's QSO Today one-hour podcast, which he produces Saturdays for QSOtoday.com. Sadly, Art became a silent key April 13, 2018. Our two excerpts from the conversation will remain on the archive page of therainreport.com permanently. This hamcast can be transmitted over amateur radio under a Community Commons license. Oh, if you're going to the Hamvention, drop by the Rain and the Gateway 160 Meter Radio Newsletter booth number 6204. That's booth number 6204. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2018 Rain. All rights are reserved. Now for Rain's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm the recuperating voice of this hamcast, Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73. And even if you can't make it to Hamvention this year, just remember to keep on hamming.